Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we have Holly Wainwright, Mamma Mia's head of content. She's an author, and she's a podcast host of Mamma Mia Out Loud and Lowbrow.
Woohoo! So excited. This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
You're not here with me.
No, I'm back in my bedroom with my dog on the bed. Sick town.
You're trying to make yourself well, because by the time this comes out, we will have done live shows in Sydney, fingers crossed.
Yeah, so it's been a week to just get well so that I can get to Sydney. So, it's not COVID.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I'm coming.
Yeah, you're tough.
I might cough on the stage, but I'm coming.
You're not contagious.
No, I'm not contagious. A doctor told me that, so that's all okay.
Excellent.
Yeah, but oh gosh, miserable weather here in Melbourne.
Miserable.
Raining.
Yeah.
Winter's usual, here. Cold.
Done.
Yeah.
Puffy jacket season.
Grey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hopefully Sydney will have given us some sunshine, but who knows?
Oh, who knows?
Doesn't matter. It's a change of place, so that'll be nice.
Yeah.
And we're pretty excited with who we're chatting to today. I think we've chatted on her podcast.
Yes.
But I don't think we've had her on ours. Hello, Holly.
No. Oh, hello.
Hello, Holly.
I was waiting for the bit when I get to interject.
Here you go. Come in.
I'm elbowing my way in, you know, figuratively sitting down.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me on. Very lucky to be invited, because I have spoken to you two on other occasions on other podcasts, but not on your show.
No.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's wonderful to have you. And thanks. You've been rushing from your work, your home, you know, a busy life, hey?
All the usual chaos that follows us around.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll get cracking and ask you our questions.
Yes, we will.
You're going to go first, Kate?
Yep. So our first question is, do you have a song or a band or music that either like lifts you up when you're feeling down, or when you're feeling happy, it's really your go-to?
As people who might be hearing my voice for the first time might not know, or may be able to pick up, but I'm from Manchester in England, which is a place that rains even more than Melbourne.
Yes.
I grew up there. I left there when I was 20, and I've never lived there again, and I'm not very far from 20 now. Friends, very far. Anyway, the song that always like lifts me up and makes me cry at the same time. You know those songs that do that?
Yep.
It's called One Day Like This, and it's by a band called Elbow. I don't know if you would have known it. And it's basically about the fact that when you live somewhere where the sun never shines, you'll one day like that a year will do you right. That's how the chorus goes. One day like this a year will do me right. It goes. And it's kind of about how, you know, you only sometimes need a little glimmer of sunshine, whether it's literal or figurative, to push you through to the next day. And I love that song. And you have to go and find it immediately. I'll send it to you.
Yep.
And when I'm having a shit day or having a homesick day or having a grateful for what I have day, I play. And Elbow are from Manchester, so they understand rain.
Yes. Well, we have a playlist.
We'll put that. Yeah, we have a Spotify playlist that will go on it.
Yes, it will.
Thank you.
Yes.
What about, did you win any awards at school or anywhere else in your life?
I've never won one award at school.
Me either.
I was the kid at school who was always trying not to get picked for sporting team.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Me too.
I was the kid who was always shuffling towards the back of the group and just making my way further and further back. And I didn't go to the kind of school that did many awards. Obviously, it was a long time ago, so we weren't so big on awards, which is a good thing, as we know. And it wasn't really a very award-giving school. So if I had have won an award, it would have been for writing nonsense stories that featured me and all my friends dating our favourite pop stars. And I used to do that, and then in the morning I'd go into school and I'd read them out, and my friends would be like, but I wanted to pass Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran. Like, no, that was me. I got to do that. But no, I won no awards.
No.
Well, I will make you up an award for that. I'm making awards at the moment. So stay tuned and we'll send you one through, hey?
Thank you.
Yep, yep, yep. And our favourite question is, why are you a P?
I'm a P because of my beautiful son, Billy. And I didn't know I was a P for a while. And then I think I almost resisted being a P for a while. And then I found that being a P might just be one of the very best things about my life.
Absolutely.
So I am a P because of Bill, who is neurodivergent, I think.
Yes. Got a couple of those myself. And it does make life awesome.
And he's your second child?
Yeah, so he's my youngest. So I've got a daughter, Matilda, who's 12. I can't believe she's 12.
I know.
Like, it's the most cliched statement of motherhood, but where does it go? Anyway.
Really?
No.
I have Matilda is 12 and Billy has just turned 10.
And I've often thought about her name, Matilda. Is that because you lived in Australia and, like, is it a nod to Australia?
Nod. That was when I had Matilda and I told people she was called Matilda. Some of my family at home said, is that a law?
Like my Irish family that all choose a saint name. When you're in Australia, you have to choose it.
I just love it. I just love that name. I still do. She prefers to be called Tilly, and but I prefer to call her Matilda. So I will forever call her Matilda. Yep. And Billy is literally just called Billy. He's not a William or anything like that, which upsets my English mother no end.
Yes.
And she actually calls him William.
No!
She, when she comes to stay, she'll be like, William, what are you doing? And I'm just like, he's not going to answer you, Mum, because that's not what he's called. He's called Billy. And, they're my beautiful two.
When you talk about your mum, it reminds me of mine, even though she's been to England once, but she's very proper and she would probably agree with that.
Yes.
She said to me when we called him Billy, she was like, you can't call him Billy. She's like, Billy is, this is a snobby thing to say, so I apologise for saying it in advance. And my mum's from the north, so she doesn't have a very posh accent, but she's just very no-nonsense. And she said, he can be a footballer if he's called Billy, but he can't be Prime Minister. I said, I think you'll find that in Australia
we did.
And be called Billy and be Prime Minister, Mum.
That's right.
You call what your man is
your nickname.
Yeah, well, the twins came home the other day and said, there's a boy in our TAFE course called Ryder. Like, he just rides everywhere. I'm like, no, that's not why he's called Ryder. I said, that's his actual name. Really?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes,
we can be whatever we want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, actually, my nephew's called Billy.
Tell us about the early years. Sorry.
And no, my nephew's called Billy, and my mum said the same thing. You can't. That's a kid's name.
Yeah.
No.
No, I think it's great because I also call him Bill, which I like, and I feel like when he's older, he could be a Bill.
Yes.
And Bill's a good bloke, I think.
Yeah, I think Bill's a good bloke. Yeah. Trustworthy.
Definitely. Tell us about the early years with Billy, and was there anything that jumped out to you? What was there tricky things about him?
Yeah. Or so he,
do you think
Billy was like the most perfect baby for 6 months?
Right.
Then I don't know what happened, but everything happened.
Wow.
When he was really little. I don't think this is actually to do with his other diagnoses, but he had he had lots of stomach issues, and he was he was underweight. He didn't feed well. He was constantly vomiting. It was constant state of anxiety about him not growing well, being too small, all of those things. There were a few years there that were very difficult, and he never slept. Like, he was one of those babies who just, he slept for 6 months and then he just stopped.
You had your time.
Yeah, I had my time. That was enough sleep for all of us.
And with a two-year-old.
Yes, with a two-year-old. And what I remember about that time, we were living in this unit in Sydney at the time, and Brent and I, like deluded parents, were like, we're going to do sleep training and we're going to go out and sleep on the pull-out couch for like 3 nights tops. We slept on that couch, listeners, for 6 months. We slept on that couch for 6 months. Anyway, I don't know if that had anything to do with anything. But like, I think the thing is, when I look back, I think that everything about, you know, when you have, well, when I had my second child, because when I had my second child, I assumed that everything was going to go the way it went with my first child. And that's not true.
No, it's really, really not. They're actually born with complete personalities.
Exactly. And different kids and different things, right?
Yes.
And then with Bill, I think it wasn't necessarily the trademark milestones that he was missing.
Mm.
It was just always that everything was, I don't want to use words that sound negative.
No.
But was difficult.
Yeah.
You know, everything was more complicated, difficult. And, you know, what I think all the time now, and I know I shouldn't, but I do, is I think all the time we were so busy always trying to make him fit into this.
Yeah, we've all done it.
Track, be on the track that we thought he should be on.
Yep.
That I think we... like tried to, like, not literally obviously, but like bend him and shape him, be this person who we thought he was, and he was just never that person. And so, you know, he didn't do things the way other kids did, he didn't socialize the way other kids did, he didn't and he could be very happy, like, and he is just the most amazing boy in the world, but like, it was, everything was just more complicated. The thing is that things didn't really for us get to the point where until he actually went to school, and that's when things became very difficult for him and us, and and also I think now, like, we'd spent 5 years probably like yelling at him in a way.
I know what you mean.
No,
and society expects that of us, because nobody says, oh, maybe your child is overwhelmed or has sensory issues, or they just always blame the parenting.
Yeah.
So you
think, and I think, we will.
When you don't have a diagnosis, you know, I had diagnosis early. So all that stuff, I had meaning, I had words. Mm. But when you don't have anything.
No, and getting that eventually.
You don't know.
Our lives. And I know that's not for everybody. I know that's not what everybody thinks, but for us, it did. And I think we had, and we still do, although different because we've moved, I'll tell you about that later, but we were living very busy lives.
Yeah.
and we were expecting Billy to fit in with everything. Yeah. And when I think about it now, you know, even our weekends would be, we had a group of friends because we both, Brent and I, my partner, we live away from our families. My family's back in England, his family are mostly in New Zealand or not around in Sydney. We kind of built our own family unit in a way in our old neighbourhood in Sydney. We had a big group of friends and their kids, and weekends would often be obviously like dragging Billy to things Matilda was doing because she's a very extroverted social kid.
Mm. Yes.
Dragging things that Matilda was doing. We've got to go here. We've got to go there. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And city life and everything's rah, 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 and it's always on a clock and it's now.
Yes.
And all of that, he hated it.
I know.
You know, and it made him really unhappy, I think. Yep. I feel so bad now when I think about it. And then there would be incidents where we'd have some quite bad meltdowns, blow-ups with other kids and things that just began to pile up and pile up. And I think, you know, we spent too long trying to convince ourselves that everything was normal, in inverted commas, that awful word. And once we got Billy's diagnoses, everything changed for us because I often think about it now that it's much more about us, you know, like in terms of having a much better, safer, calmer, a place that works better for him, you know, and changed everything for us.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think,
a lot of people think in the early years, you know, we've got small children and they need to be occupied, and otherwise we're home in a house and they're killing each other or they're, you know, and so a lot of us fall into that, let's stay busy, let's overcommit to everything, you know, that's a very common thing. So I don't want you to feel bad about that anymore, because I think that's super common.
It certainly has made our lives and Billy's life, obviously, which is the most important thing, made a whole different ball game once we began to understand.
Yeah.
And when I think about it, like, I just knew nothing. I just knew nothing about this entire world.
That's right.
Because don't talk about it. They don't tell you about it when you go to the kinder open day or the maternal and child health nurse or the doctor. That, unless your child is quite clearly in one of the categories early, nobody talks to you about it. So, and I mean, obviously Mandy and I constantly talk about it, but.
And thank God for you.
But it's such a weird place because you don't know that there could be a disability. And so you try and bring them up the same way that you bring your other children up or the way kids around are being brought up. Mm. And then everyone just falls in a massive heap. Like that's just what happens. So.
And I think that when we began to, when the things began to happen that, like with hindsight, when Billy was obviously just so overwhelmed and at his absolute capacity of being able to process, then everything would go wrong. And then we would all just be sort of standing there going, what has happened to our beautiful life?
Yeah, I know.
Whereas now, you know, what the last few years have given us is this gift of being able to see how much more beautiful our life is now that we're not constantly, you know, and it's been for us understanding limits and understanding and for us medication and all those things, like a whole parcel of tools have just meant that our world is now a much better place and a more Billy friendly place and therefore also a more harmonious household place than
it's actually really powerful. And I know there are people who struggle with a diagnosis or don't like it, like, and I understand they're like, well, we should all just fit in, and we should, but that's actually not how society is made. So once you've given your child the power and said, this is how you are, you're really awesome, but you work like this, you know, they actually, I just feel the relief that comes through them, and they're like, oh, this all makes sense, because they're just given negative messaging constantly and then it all goes away. And, it's an absolute game changer having a diagnosis.
Well, that's what happened in our world really is the time when we finally sought diagnosis is we'd actually been back to Britain for Christmas and to visit my family, and we'd taken the kids, and we'd had this completely hectic couple of weeks of being dragged around to meet all these people that you know, a bar of soap, who were like, these are very important people in your life, you know. Strange houses. Any change of routines is always a big
thing. Oh, no. We don't transition. Yeah. No.
Yeah, exactly. So strange houses.
The smells.
Sleeping in strange beds. Time change.
Yeah.
Food.
And all of it.
Billy has a lot of food issues now. Like, and so he doesn't eat a whole lot of things. No. Going to other people's houses for food and then being like, with the best will in the world, my sister-in-law, I always think about this. When we arrived, she was like, I'll have him eating vegetables by the end of this hot. And you're like, mate, no, you really won't.
You won't.
But like this whole period of, anyway, and he was just understandably by the end of that trip, just so frazzled and behaving so, anyway. And I remember my mum just being like looking at me in the kitchen in her house, and I was obviously, I was like, I'm so sorry that this is happening in your kitchen. And my mum was just like, you really need, there's something much bigger here than, you know, and even so then, like when we did get our diagnosis, she was one of the people, like with all the love in the world that we would all know, who was like quite resistant to those diagnoses.
Yes. Yeah.
My mum was too.
Yeah. She's like, well, this isn't exactly what I've read about or heard about, and I'm not sure. And do you? And I was like, no, this to me, for Brent and I and for Billy, like this all is making a lot. I mean, even though there was a lot of like sort of reckoning that we did then, because then the guilt came for me. I was just like, how have I, as I was saying before, how have we not been seeing this, and how could we have been railing against this for so long? But for me, it was a game changer. So from that point on, after we came back from that trip, that's when we began to really sort of understand more about what was going on and finally get the appointments, as you would all know, like that you wait millions for and that are so hard to
get.
But it was all just so worth it for us in the end. And then the next thing that really changed the game was a really good teacher that he had, which in year one, when he, or maybe it was actually after year one, he had a year at school when he was constantly being excluded, sent out of class, headmaster's office.
Yeah.
Just a really terrible year.
Yeah, it's so terrible.
And then he had this brilliant teacher.
As a little boy, right? A little tiny boy.
And the head of year was like, I've got a seat for Billy in my office because he gets that out so much. And it's just like,
no, it's so wrong. It should just be illegal. The supports must be in the classroom. It's not the child's fault.
And then we had a really brilliant teacher the following year who said, I don't exclude. I don't do it. She said, I never do it. Billy and I will work things out. And just before the national lockdown, so 2 years ago?
Yep.
2 years ago? Is that 2 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was actually her who first talked, which I know is not necessarily her place, but because we were having quite a, she was such a good teacher. We were very trusted and we had this very open dialogue with her. Yep. And she was really making a difference to Billy.
Mm.
But she was the one who really encouraged us to go to medication for him, because we hadn't straight away, because he's got a dual diagnosis, there's different things going on. And we hadn't straight away. I probably had quite a bit of the stigma and stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah, it's
that
huge.
I didn't even know was there. But she was just a straight talking, trusted person who said to us, I think it will make the world of difference to his schooling. And I know that's not the most important thing, but otherwise he can be a very clever kid, but he's just, anyway. And thank God we did, because look, lockdown was hard enough.
Oh my God.
I couldn't have done an unmedicated children lockdown. Not a chance. Not a chance.
So lockdown was hard enough, and
you were living in a small house, weren't you?
Yes, she needs a tiara and a sash, that lady. And like good teachers. I mean, not that I would ever say bad teachers, because I don't. But you know, a great teacher like that can change a child's life, and she really did for him.
Totally.
Yeah.
And
they really shine, don't they?
Yeah.
Yep. They are rare.
And, you know, things like that. So that's another, that was like kind of the second thing that changed the game. Yep. And then last year we moved to the country.
Yes.
So
yes.
that's the third thing that's really changed the game too, because Billy's so happy here.
Oh, like, really?
Is he?
Like, the change in the first place was hard, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But I think this, we have this kind of smaller, quieter life and more space. And yeah. He's much happier.
So your place in Sydney was quite small, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we lived near the beach, which was lovely, but we lived in a really small unit, and which was not lockdown friendly, let me tell you.
Yeah, no.
Oh, Holly. No.
It was, we would literally be, he would literally be running around the walls, like literally be running around the walls.
Yeah,
And then, but now we live, well, we've been in a rent, we're in a rental, we're in this big house, but we've just, we've actually just managed to buy a place that we're going to move into in a few months. But we've got,
congratulations.
So exciting.
More space, and it's just calmer, quieter.
Yep.
Billy likes to be inside.
Yes.
So, yeah. As we're doing this interview, he's just been diagnosed with COVID. He's not been well, so he's been home. Mm. And when I was in the city working and I came back and I'm like, Bill, how do you feel about having COVID? And he's like, well, it's not great, he said, but at least I get to stay inside now for, for another week, whatever. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, it's safe inside.
Is his happy place. Like,
We call it a habitat. Yeah. Darren always says, just go off into your habitat, spend some time in your habitat, you'll feel a little bit better in her bedroom. And it's that's the word we give her. She knows.
Yeah. I think it's really powerful.
I'm quite a fan of my habitat as well, actually.
Yeah. It makes a real difference.
It really does.
And it's funny because my daughter never wants to be home. She's now, she's 12 now, and she wants to be out with her friends all the time.
Yeah.
And this is how they've always been, is Matilda's always the kid who wakes up and goes, when she was smaller and she needed us to take her everywhere, she'd be like, what are we doing today? What's the schedule? Yes. Where are we going? Who are we seeing? What are we? Yes. And Billy's just like holding on to things like, don't make me.
I know. And it's strange. Oh. My boys really love being at home too, like really, really love it. They love like mountain biking or skiing, but they would never say, can we go to the shops or can we go see a movie? Never. But then my third, she is got a schedule every day of the week. Like she has to see people. Yeah. I mean, I am very much like that. So then it's, I think that was one of my biggest lessons. Just because I'm outgoing and like to see people all the time does not mean my children need to do that.
Exactly right.
The big lesson.
Yeah, it really is. Is they're not you, apparently.
No.
I mean, it's outrageous. But they're not you. And they, so Bill is very much like that. And he's, he has challenges making friends. However, the other thing that's been lovely about down here where we've moved to is even though it's a much smaller school and a much smaller community, he's made connections with just a handful of kids who, you know,
are
kind of his kind of crew.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's really, it's been good. It's been a different kind of thing. And the way he always talks and identifies the different kind of kids in a group is really interesting. Like the way Billy sees things are always really interesting, but he kind of knows the kind of kid that he's not, you know, and he sort of stays away from those guys.
Yes. Well, I have the exact same thing.
Well, that's powerful.
So I think in general it's been a really positive thing, although the transition, the change was obviously something we were very worried about. Horrible. It's actually ended up being really positive for him.
And how's it been for you, like leaving Sydney and all your friends and I don't know?
I know. Well, it was a big deal, but we'd been talking about doing it for so long that everyone in my life was just like, would you just either stop effing talking about moving to the country and either move to the country or never mention it again. And we were getting it to Matilda's last year of primary and it was the deadline was looming. And then and so we did it. We pulled the pin. Look, it's been amazing. It's not like anything in life. It's not 100% positive in terms of obviously I miss my friends, but my job, I go to Sydney once a week and I generally what I do is I'll do 2 days in the office at Mamma Mia because I work at Mamma Mia and obviously we make podcasts there and everything. So I, on an ordinary week, assuming everybody's well and healthy and the schedule's fine, I go up to Sydney once a week and I stay overnight with my wonderful best mate who has her kids a shared amount of time. So often it'll be she has a spare bed for me.
Perfect.
And
perfect.
So I get a dose of people, city life, friends, and then I'm here the rest of the time. And what I find is when I come back, so I've just, as I'm talking to you, I've just come back from a day, a night up there. I just kind of drive into town where we live now, and just this big exhale, you know, it's just this, it's just peaceful. It's beautiful. It's lovely. But I'm not going to say it doesn't come with complications. And I have found, and I'm sure there would be many, many peas who would resonate with this. Resources in the country are different. In regional areas are different. It has been very hard to try and get Billy's supports down here. So he still is doing quite a lot of appointments via Zoom with his city people.
Yeah.
Waiting lists are even longer. You know, there are, instead of having a choice of very expensive OTs, there's a very short list of, you know, so that it's come with those kind of challenges, which we're working our way through, because definitely the resources in regional places are not, you know, are not so great. But having said that, we've got a brilliant, we've managed to get a brilliant family GP who really was, had the most wonderful first session with him and connected us as much as she could. We've had so there have been some, there are definitely some challenges about not being in the city anymore. There's no Uber Eats.
This pay life.
We don't eat we don't eat takeaway food hardly at all anymore. That's really tiresome.
Yeah, you have to drive and get it.
I know. When I go to we went up to the city for somebody's birthday, and I used to have one of Brent's cousins lives in the country and used to come and stay with us in Coogee all the time, and the first thing she'd do would be sit down and order Uber Eats, and I just used to laugh at her. She used to order herself like an ice cream from McDonald's, and then she'd order herself a kebab from somewhere or whatever, and I just used to laugh at her. But when we were in town the other week, Brent and I did exactly the same thing. We were like, we can order food in.
Where do you get your nuggets?
Exactly. Well, we can drive to Nuggets if they're needed, and are often needed for Billy, because that's one thing.
Oh, yeah. It's the top of the pea food pyramid.
It's pea food chart. Yeah.
Because there are a lot of other things that he won't. Anyway.
How do you handle that with the food? It's a big, you know, it's a big one for a lot of people.
You know what's we were seeing, and I should not laugh about this, but we were seeing food experts, food specialists quite a lot in for a long time, who were trying to get Billy to familiarize himself with veg, and he would be like, today we're licking a carrot and tomorrow we're sniffing a cucumber and all that kind of stuff. And look, we're not doing that anymore. We kind of stopped. And he's beginning. Look, I would be exaggerating if I said his palate is opening up. It's really not. But he's less likely now, if he can see a fleck of carrot in the bolognese I've made him, to entirely refuse it. Sometimes he'll look at me and be like, I know what you're doing. But we'll let this one go. And I'm like, well, that's something. You haven't
huge.
The carrot, but that's some progress. But yeah, it's interesting because my daughter until very recently is a vegetarian, and so Billy only really eats white food and meat, like mince is his thing, and nuggets, as discussed, and she will only eat vegetables, so
it is a proper meal.
Oh my god. Exactly. So we might do like noodles, and Bill will just have the white noodles of chicken, and Matilda will have the noodles and some veggies, and we'll have the noodles with the chicken and the veggies, and then the sauce has to be, you know, you know what, I don't know if this is right, it's probably an area of guilt I should explore more, obviously, but I've kind of just let it be for a while.
Welcome.
It was the greatest gift going, oh no, I don't give a fuck now, I can't do this. There's so many pressures, and getting through school is so tricky when you have to mask all day and you're so tired. I'm not going to come home and have a fight with you about broccoli. That's I can't, and
we did that for too long. We did that for so long.
Years,
every meal time was a battlefield.
Yeah,
yeah, enough, and because that is no help to anybody.
I know.
Nope.
And it was
terrible.
We just had full bloods done on the boys. Everything fine.
Yeah,
they eat like seven things. Like, how can this be fine? But you know what?
Wild.
They're fine. They're running around.
And then I have my friends, and God bless them, who are all like chia seeds this.
Oh, yeah.
And like making all the most amazing things that have, and they're always saying to me, I bet Billy would love my zucchini lollipop. My dairy-free, gluten-free zucchini lollipop.
Yes, amazing.
And I'm always like, let me save you the trouble. Like, it's so kind of you to offer, but like, he's not going to do it.
No.
He's not.
No.
Just give the boy some plain pasta. Like,
yes, please. And then we can all have a nice dinner.
I know. So we've stopped having food as a battleground. And I guess he is still very little, like skinny.
So are my boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think there will obviously be times when we may have to go back into that breach, but.
Look, I can tell you, Milo, with a lot of Milo in it and a scoop of protein powder, that has just got us through life, really. So it's sweet, it's got milk, and I know all the chia seed mums are like, what? But it really, really, really works. So I don't care anymore.
We do that nicely. Yep. So.
And in P-Land, we've got all the extremes of food and feeding refusal. And so we know that just to make it an experience that the child feels happy about actually means everything.
It does.
Yeah.
And so that's where I come from in this house.
And it's always a bit hard when you're not in that world and people are always trying to, like my well-meaning sister-in-law, they're always just like, oh, of course you'll eat it, or just keep giving it to him. And I'm like, I've been giving it to him for 12 years, not 10 years.
It doesn't change. I've been doing it for 16. Yeah.
Exactly. And,
people
are very well-meaning, but you're just kind of like, nah.
I remember a friend of mine said, oh, you just need to make them veggies and they can put gravy on it. And the boys were like, that brown stuff? Like, it was literally the way. There's no way in hell they're mixing a runny texture with a chewy bit of broccoli. This is not happening. So,
I know. So, it's sensory. It's whatever it is.
It is.
It's
all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not.
And no one tells you how big a deal.
No.
No one tells you how big a deal food is in parenting. No one really explains that can become such a battleground and also stomp on your guilt.
It's just your guilt. Yeah. When you see kids eating avocado and, you know, dates and you're like, oh,
you're so jealous.
God. I know.
I'm like, oh, imagine a child who'd eat that.
I know.
Imagine a child who'd eat a date. That would just be. And like lunchbox is always just the most bland things of all time. And they're like, they have to have fruit.
No.
And you're like, mate, there's no point.
No.
There's absolutely no point.
We used to take the same apple for like 2 weeks.
Yes. Just so it was just in there. Exactly. Just put a fake apple.
Yeah,
I should just get one of those ones they have in homeware stores, you know, that they put in the window. Just put a fake apple in the box and a fake carrot. Just be like, put it in there, crunch and sit. Don't anyone try and eat that.
Oh, God, yeah. No, it's just – but when you're at a good school or a school that understands, we don't worry.
I know, and sometimes it takes a while for that petty to drop. As I say, I'm choosing avoidance in that at the moment.
Yeah, no.
Welcome. Like, it's just like, come on board, baby.
I know.
We're your people.
And then, thank God, because sometimes when I was paying like $200 to the lady who was trying to get him to sniff carrots, I was like, I totally get that your practice is brilliant. I'm not criticizing it. But I'd also just be like, it's not working yet. It's not working yet. And anyway.
Listen, you need a dose of pee in your life to just go, come on over. The noodles are on.
Exactly.
There's hot water and noodles.
Yep.
Right?
And
we're not even going to put the sachet in.
Yep. I tell you, the day that the boys decided they liked margarita pizza, game changer, because you can go out.
Yes. Most as long as it doesn't have any herbs on top.
Oh, no, no herbs. And sometimes we rip the whole topping off and just eat the bottom. But yeah. we're still having a meal yeah. with other people out. So,
100%.
Yeah. And now they're really good at articulating. Like, they were going to go away with their dad to a family reunion, but then they got sick. And they were like, but who's going to tell them we're not going to eat any of that food? And I was like, you know what? I'll tell dad and I'll send you all the things that you eat. And because, you know, at 16, it's confronting. People just look at them like, what?
But yeah, sure.
at least they know now. They're like, no, we're not going to eat it. So, you know, it's their body. We're always telling, don't let anybody do anything to your body that you don't like. But here, shove this in your mouth.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is. It's their body, their choice.
Well, no, thank God. Thank God this is a guilt-free space on there.
This really
is. Yeah. really. Oh, gosh, the highest.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tell us about his friendships. You said there's been some tricky times with friends at school. Has he been invited to parties, left out? Does he get
playdates? He wasn't invited to parties for years.
No.
And, you know, sometimes it takes you a while for that penny to drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember once saying to Brent, like, you know, Matilda, I'm sure when Matilda was in year one or whatever, like she was.
Parties are go-go.
Weren't we just always.
Yes.
Didn't we always have invitations? Yes. And then you're like, oh.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
You know, what I think has been great is that Bill has always managed, and he did it in our old place, and he's doing that in here too. As I was saying before, he kind of can identify the kids who are maybe similar. Like, I'm not saying, oh, they have got.
Yeah.
No.
Diagnoses like his or whatever. But,
but his people.
Little group of pals will be small, and they will not necessarily, the way that they're playing with each other won't necessarily look anything like the way the other kids are playing.
Mm.
But they've kind of found each other.
Yeah.
And we've obviously done some social skills workshops and things in the early days in particular, which he did actually find really useful. And so did I. Like, I was sitting in some of those with him sometimes, and I was like, I know lots of adults who need to learn.
Lots.
When someone asks you a question, you should ask them a question back. Like, I've been on dates like that.
Yes.
I don't remember. Yeah.
We could have all learned some important social skills in the which he actually, anyway, they were very useful at the time.
Mm.
But certainly he was not getting the invites to parties, and he's not sporty. And with boys, that is still
such
a big thing.
It is.
Which seems wild, right? Is that if you're not one of the ball kids, which Billy has never been.
Not mine either.
And has zero interest in, every now and again he'll like, it's like he sees that that's a pattern.
Yes.
Something that, so he'll be like, because when he was little, Brent's from New Zealand and he likes rugby union. And I think in his mind, he was going to have a son who was going to play rugby union.
Of course he was. Yep.
Billy, now it's funny to me now, although I shouldn't be, that he signed him up to the local.
Yeah.
Like when he was really little, like
five. Yep.
To the local kids rugby union thing.
Yep.
And Billy got knocked over. And that was it.
Yep.
Like,
done.
Billy did not understand how this was okay.
No, right? It's not okay.
Not fair enough.
And how this other kid had just been knocked over and then he got up and they got on with it. And yep. Billy was just like, but that kid knocked me up. Like, that was it, you know. And he never went back. Brent begged him. Because actually Brent could see his dream. Like,
it's actually really enormous in Peeland.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And he could see that drifting away. And of course, it's fine. But he always says to me now, like when we talk about kids in school, he'll say, oh, he's one of the sporty, confident kids.
Yes.
Yep.
Those are the words he uses.
Yep. We had the sports boys. My boys used to say, well, they're the sports boys, Mum. And I think also what's tricky when you're neurodivergent and maybe have a couple of different diagnoses is people expect that, oh, well, you've got ADHD or something, you're going to be wanting to run all the time. Mm. But actually being on a soccer pitch or whatever is so overwhelming. There's things happening all the time, and how do you focus on the one thing? And then you might see a little ladybug on the ground.
Yeah.
And so my boys felt like they let everybody down all the time.
Yeah.
And they hated it.
And then people are shouting at them.
Yes.
And then they don't, like, even if they're just shouting, get the ball.
Yeah.
And then they don't get that.
No.
Well, Billy doesn't get that. And so we figured that out pretty quickly.
Yes, yes.
That would be the path for him. But what he does really enjoy now is he started doing martial arts.
Ah, yes.
And they don't actually fight each other. Like,
yeah,
but he actually really likes it. I think it's this very structured.
Yep.
Instruction-based session.
Yep.
That actually quite works for him.
Yeah.
So, and he's got a little mate who does that too.
Yeah.
And so he has been more willing to try things because there were definitely a few years there where Matilda had, you know, Monday night was this and Wednesday night was that and Saturday morning was this and Billy's schedule was, you know.
Yeah.
And I used to sometimes think about that. Yep. But since we've moved down here, he has been willing to try some new things, which has been a big deal that I try not to make a big deal. And his martial arts has actually been quite good. Like he likes it. And he's also started doing piano lessons, which he loves. Which is really interesting too. And again, he likes the patterns and he likes repetition.
Mm.
And so that seems to be working for him. So I think there were times at school pre-diagnosis when there would be problems in the playground, and there were times, every P would relate to, when you get the call that something bad has happened in the playground and your kid did this, and it was hard. It has been hard.
Yeah.
My number one thing in those years that I think about now is just Billy's self-loathing around it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, self-loathing might be a too strong a term, but there were incidents when he would clearly just be so overwhelmed and something would happen, and then he would be very like, what's wrong with me? I don't know why I did that.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
When I think about it now, it just
really
upsets me.
Yeah.
But we haven't had much of that in recent years.
Yeah, and it can turn around. So my boys went to a primary school. And then in high school, we moved them to a school with heaps of ed support and neurodivergent kids and typical kids. And it was just an amazing, like a community school. Mm. And the first year or two, so they're in year 10 now, so 7 and 8, I mean 8 and 9 were locked down, but the first year or two, the teacher, the ed support, they have like one person that sits with them and does work with them and stuff. And she said it's taken them 2 years to unwrite in their mind like all the negative messages and realize that they're actually fine. And now they love going to ed support. Like, whereas at the other school it was like, oh, you're going to do this and we, you know. So I think once we accepted that school wasn't right, which was a really hard decision because my other kids went through and found this little community school that anything goes, not anything, but they have rewritten on themselves. And actually Woody said to me the other day, I don't always feel comfortable at school, but I like being there.
Yeah.
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 And I was like, yes, that's right. That's how you feel. That's okay.
That's so good.
Yeah. So it's taken a long time, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I think that may also be one of the reasons why Billy likes this new school.
Mm.
There's no, you know, that even though things had got a lot better for him there before he left, you know, the head of year whose office he used to get sent to all the time stuff isn't there. So doesn't know that history about him.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Doesn't have those preconceptions, doesn't think that way. So it has been a bit clean slate for him, which has been a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. And I think changing schools when your kids are neurodivergent is so scary because where's the toilet? Is anyone going to talk to me? And we like, my boys like to know the layout of all the buildings, you know, like how's this all going to flow? But it's really worth it if you can push through that, I think, sometimes to get a fresh start.
Yeah. No, it has. It has been good for him, I think, in hindsight. And there are, you know, we have periods where anxiety spikes and things, things get really difficult and rocky, and then we have periods where things seem to be quite calm and good. You know, like I guess that's everybody and everything. It depends what else is going on in everybody's lives. But, yeah, generally speaking, I think it's been better. But, yes, it was – when I think back about those years when we were, like, wondering where all the birthday invitations were, like, it's really hard, isn't it?
It's so horrible. Yeah, we obviously wrote about it in our book and we talk about it at all our shows because the pain for the whole family of knowing that someone's missing out just because of how they were born is so cruel. It really is.
And then the upside when you do get an invite, and then, like, for me, we'd be like ringing my mum, ringing mother-in-law, look, we've got an invitation. Tell everybody about this one invitation on the fridge, you know? It just made the whole family so happy.
Yeah, such a big deal. So I think, but I think that we've all got a bit better at identifying that, like, it's also okay if there's just one, two kids who are your people. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And,
he,
I think he's, as I say, got this real kind of sense of who they are. So he's got, there are a couple of little mates that he still has from the city who they,
I'm
doing my thing with my thumb.
I know what you mean.
They game.
Yeah. They game.
Gaming.
Well, it's a really good way of keeping friends. One of my boys' best friends lives in Albury and we live in Melbourne, but they get together and they're like, you know, bum and undies because they've been talking together over the internet and playing whatever they do. And so I used to be very anti it, but now I think it's really powerful.
Yeah, well, it's definitely helped him hold on to those connections. Mm. And there are a couple of those families and those connections where it's like a safe place, you know what I mean? What the situation is and, you know, it's not going to be a place where people are going to try and make you eat things you don't want to eat.
Or,
you know, basically force your peg into a different hole.
No,
peg friendly situation.
Oh, I'm so thrilled with those families. I love those women. Yeah. I love, I'm so thankful when she can go somewhere that I know she's catered for. And, oh, it means the world. But you're right, you only need one or two. That's all we talk about. It's all we ask.
Yep, one or two.
We're not saying we need 10 friends. One or two. That's all we ask.
And were you?
Matilda, of course, has 25 friends.
Yeah, of course.
That's who she is. And they, you know, and often that one of the challenges in our house is often those differences between the in terms of attention and time and all that stuff that I know that you
would,
you
that within the
people
twins.
Would be very
I understand.
And are we having people over again? Are people coming over again, Mum? And I'm like, but now I just say to them, they're not your friends. They're, you know, scholarships friends or whatever. You can just stay in your room. Like, you know, they don't have to constantly be, hi, this is who I am.
It's true.
So, because it's a lot when, like she is constantly socialising and, oh, we're all going to make Donna Hay food and my friends are all coming over and they're like, oh, we don't even want to smell it. So, you know.
So true.
So what I was going to say was, did you work through all of this? Have you always worked full time?
Pretty much, but my partner doesn't. So I'm not going to say lucky. I was about to say lucky.
No, you're not lucky.
Our domestic setup is a bit non-traditional in the fact that I'm probably the one who works more and probably the one who is more of the carer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that has been tricky at times because, as I'm sure, you know, you would all be very familiar with, like when we were going through the period, like the period around diagnoses and it was hard for us to always be on the same page.
Yeah.
Huge.
And, you know, agree what to do and what and how we should do it and how important it was to build this foundation of routine around Bill and all that stuff. So that's been challenging at times, but I have mostly worked full time through it, although I have periods where I've gone down to a fewer days or I'll work more at home. Since everything,
the world shut down.
I work at home a lot more, which is great for everybody.
Yeah.
But Brent is often the one around. And we will take, you know, Billy's appointments and things. We kind of divide and conquer. So I'm pediatrician and OT, and he's, you know, this and that. So
I love it.
We kind of we divide and conquer on those things. So that has allowed me to work through it. But it's been very challenging at times. I remember really clearly the day that we finally got Billy's diagnosis was a really busy day at work, and I had a podcast recording in the afternoon, and I had to be in the studio in the office in Sydney. But I'd left work to go to the paediatrician with Brent and after we'd, you know, gone through all the processes and all the stuff. And I don't really know, when I think back now, I don't really know what I was expecting them to say. Well, I do. I think I was expecting them to say ADHD, but I didn't necessarily think they were also going to say ASD and all the things that ended up making absolute sense in the long run. But I was very knocked around by that at the, at the moment. Like, you know, and as I said before, it took me the guilt that then like kind of came rushing. But I had to go back to work and go straight back into a podcast recording and tap dance and be happy and smiling. And all those things.
Oh, Holly, how did you do that? I went home and went to bed for two days.
It was so hard. Gosh. And then afterwards, I told Mia, my boss, Mia Friedman, and my friend. and she was just like, I can't believe you just did that show. But I was like, well, I can't let everybody get, like, you know, it's all that.
No.
Everybody, there's the rest of you all waiting here. But I was just, and then I was very, you know, So I do work, I've worked through a lot of stuff, but I have like literally worked through a lot of stuff while I was working through a lot of stuff.
You have.
But I do love my job. I'm lucky that I, you know, I'm lucky that I
and you're really good at it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. No, you are.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You're one of my first podcasts.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And one of the things that's actually really good is that, so I write books as well, right? And Billy loves writing. And he writes, you know, I was saying at the beginning how when I was a kid, and obviously I was a very different kid to Billy, but I used to write these stories that had all my friends in them and all the pop stars that we'd snog. He writes endless books about Minecraft. With very convoluted plot lines, with covers that are designed. And so in the most recent time that I had to do some, that I was trying to write this book that I've just finished, I'd be like, I've got to take Matilda to footy or do this thing or whatever. And I'd be like, well, I've got to get some writing done. And Billy would be like, I'll get some writing done. And so we'd both be sitting, I'd be sitting with my laptop and he'd sit at the desktop computer and he can
hyper-focus
and write for 2 hours. I'd be like, Billy,
it's a superpower.
My word count is not okay. Like, I've written a paragraph, you've written 5 pages. And he really likes writing and he is really interested in that side of what I do. So he's like, I want to see the cover and I want to see. So then he copies it on his thing. And
so cute.
So that's been lovely. That's really good.
So when
he's creative, he's a really creative kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he also loves art. He loves art.
Yes.
He's really good at art. He loves to draw and paint.
Yeah.
And he loves to write his endless Minecraft stories that I don't understand.
I know.
Because Minecraft.
I know. Anyway. I mean, Minecraft was, I think, our life for about 4 years. We've moved on now to other games, but it's a really, really good game.
Oh, he builds the most amazing things.
Incredible.
Like, he'll show me. So, I mean, again, you know, you have to push, not push back at all, but like the people who are screens are evil entirely. And I can't, I'm like, but without them, my, like, but yep. also what Billy's doing often on Minecraft is really interesting. Like, he's building these amazing houses with all these crazy layers and platforms and hidden cupboards. And
no, I love it.
However, his beautiful brain.
Random pigs.
Many random pigs.
There's a pig around the corner in here. I was like, wow, amazing. Why? I don't know.
Exactly.
I just do not understand it one bit, but I champion people who love it.
Yeah. Well, my oldest son also loves all of that. So that's the twins and him can. Yeah, I'm like, good, you talk about that because I don't really understand it. I've heard a lot about it.
Exactly.
But don't quite understand it. So with your books, Holly, this is just a non-P question, but when you've finished one, are you automatically thinking about the next one or do you just go blank and like, I'll never write another book?
Well, during the writing process, I think I'm never writing another book.
I bet.
It's the worst thing in the world. Why am I doing it to myself? And then when I finished, I start going, oh, I should write another book. I'm very in the moment.
So when's this book coming out?
So this book, the book that I've just really revealed the cover and stuff, is called The Couple Upstairs, and it is out in August the 30th.
Oh, soon.
And soon. So it's a September release, but August the 30th is out. And I am thinking about the next one, but I'm also like, I'm not going to write anything for a while. I need a little bit of space.
A break.
A bit of a break. Yeah. I could do with that.
Yeah.
And you're going to move house and move into your own house and suddenly get obsessed with painting and
I know. Things and like that. That's going to be so cool. And I'm having a bit of space for my to write and Billy to write alongside me, maybe.
Beautiful.
His and hers writing desks.
Oh, too cute.
Have we missed anything, Holly, that you would love to tell the peas or that we haven't asked? Or
I don't think so. Do you think so?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I think the peas are going to be thrilled. No, but they I always love ask. You.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, I feel I mean, I know what a diverse community your peas are, and I know that there are, you know, so many different kinds of challenges, and sometimes that mine are probably not. I don't know, but
we're all in there.
We're all whoever is diverse mothering is welcome, right?
Yeah. So it's been a gift to me to discover your community, but also to like identify as that, and also, as I say, for us, it's been a life-changing thing. So.
Yeah. It is life-changing. Oh. You realise that actually I'm the lucky one.
Yeah.
Knowing these awesome kids and realising they were always around me, I just didn't see them.
Exactly.
And then meeting awesome adults and I'm like, oh, I'm just so lucky, I wouldn't change it.
Exactly. No. And the people who think otherwise, you know, and who, like, honestly.
Yeah, we don't care. Rectums, we say. Rectums.
Exactly.
Rectums. They're out. Well, thank you, Holly. Wonderful to meet you in person over Zoom.
Oh, thank you so much.
All your support of our podcast and our book.
Always.
And
we
one
can't
day we
wait
will
to
meet
read
you
your book.
Face to face. Yes, we've read all your books and we'll be reading the next one as well. So thank you.
I'll make sure you get it. But it's been lovely to talk to you.
We can
Thanks
buy
for
it.
Having me. I feel so lucky. Oh, yeah. You've written books. You know that's the deal. You're like, you've got to buy it.
Yes, please buy it.
Yes, please buy it.
And so many
it,
of your
please.
Friends, you're like, no, come on, it's now $19 at Big W. You've got to buy it.
Please, Kmart. I reckon you can afford it.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of hard work. I know. A lot of hard work goes please. Into that.
Yeah.
Good luck with your
show. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you.
I hope you get to do them and I hope they go well.
Thank you. Yeah. Who knows?
We're going.
Yeah, we're going.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
Thank you so much. Mandy, that was so good.
Oh, it was wonderful. We've been wanting to chat to her for ages. So
yeah, she's
lovely
so
to meet her.
Lovely. Just as lovely as you would think.
And supportive.
Yeah. The Mamma Mia team have been incredibly supportive of us.
That's right. They really, really have. I'm very grateful.
Women uplifting women is a powerful, powerful thing. And
that's right.
Yeah, I'm very, yeah, just honoured that they have helped us over the years.
Yeah, so, me too.
Yeah.
This has made a world of difference.
Mm, mm.
So what made you cry this week, Kate?
So what made me cry this week was I actually went away with three friends to the snow without the boys, and it was weird to be there without them, but it was still my happy place and I was so relaxed, and it just didn't work out that they could be there. And then I just was looking at the mountain crying, thinking a lot of things have changed in my life, but the mountains are still here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It makes me teary thinking about it. But yeah. Yes. And I just cried and thought some things change, but some things stay the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that's like a guiding light thing, isn't it? Like the sun gets up every day, keeps rising and setting. It doesn't matter what is going on.
Yep. Yep. So that I just had a cry about that. But sort of, I don't know, you know, it is what it is. What about you?
Oh, I cried at the doctor's because she was an older woman doctor and I was just sitting there just feeling so terrible.
As you can tell, Mandy's very sick.
I just wanted to say, I was sitting like a zombie in the room. I thought, I can't even believe I drove here.
Yes.
I had no one to drive me.
Yeah.
You know, and you just think, God, it's so hard being sick when you're a mum and you're and you're a pee and you're fucking Anyway, and pee work doesn't stop.
Nope. No, it doesn't.
So anyway, she held my hand and she said, "Oh, your hands are ice cold." And she just gave my hand a squeeze. And I just broke down. And then she said, "And what do you do for work?" And I said, "Oh, well, I have a podcast and I've got a live show."
And I've got to be well.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
And she's like, "Okay." She's like, "Okay, well, what day is it? All right. Okay, I think you'll be right. You won't be contagious. You'll be right. Okay." And then she goes, and she holds my hand and she goes, "All right, come on, be positive.
Aww.
It's okay." And I was like, okay.
I can do this. Oh, women are the best.
It was just kind.
Yeah.
She was kind. She was no nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, she was going through everything with me. And I said, "This is worse than COVID." She goes, "Oh, everybody says that."
Yeah.
"That's right. I don't even have to swab you. I know exactly what this is." It was just a moment of some, you know, she
nurturing.
Nurturing but brisk.
Yes.
Like, so, no, come on, you'll be right.
Yeah.
You're positive.
Yeah.
You can do this. And I just needed that to get out of my own misery.
Yep. And so, someone held your hand.
She held my hand and squeezed it and said, "Wow, it's cold." I don't know. I just thought, has anybody asked me how I feel
about it?
No,
they have not.
Really.
They have not.
You know?
Yeah. No.
I mean, they have.
I know, but yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
It's got to keep going.
Yep.
It's got to keep going. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yes, but make a difference was, my friend Michelle bought me some Vicks Vapor Rub. She dropped it in.
Oh,
and she's
Vicks
like,
Vapor
Rub. I'll rub it on your chest.
Oh. And
I was like, okay.
That's a good
friend.
I said,
no, it's okay.
Friend.
I can rub it.
Yeah.
And then my beautiful sister, Annalise, she just came and took Miss 11. She had her for a sleepover for me.
Praise be.
You know, just. Got in there and took her.
Because Mandy's also husband was away when she was the sickest.
Yeah,
and so she had the girls on her own. I know it's okay, but it's not.
That's pee life, right?
I know, but it's still so hard. And you're allowed to have a moment going, this is hard and I'm sad. Yeah.
And 11 is still, I want to do things.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
And she said, when you're sick, the whole house is sad.
Look, yeah, I know, because everyone rests on my mental mood. I get it.
I know. I just thought, and then Annalise
it's a
like,
lot.
"Oh well." She goes, "Oh well, you know, life's tricky." And I was like, "Okay, thank you." The auntie stepped in and said, "Yep, sometimes life's hard, Miss 11.
Yep, come with me. Yep."
Anyway, that's right. So I had help, and and luckily Molly, she was just happy to be by my side.
Of course, So
anyway,
you'll
make a difference.
My make a difference is that, and this is so incredible, I think. So I go and get my nails done every 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know how much longer I'll be able to afford it, but I really love getting my nails painted. And my nail lady and I, Emma, have really obviously struck up quite a strong friendship because we've been seeing each other for a few years. Anyway, a couple of weeks back she said to me, there's something different about you and I just want to honour you. This made me cry as well. And all the changes that you've been through, and I want to give you like 6 free facials, and I just want you to come. And I've had 2 facials in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's got like this light thing that goes over your head, which other people will know what it's about. Something rejuvenating. I don't know. And then while she's doing that, she like gives you a hand massage and she puts a little hot water bottle on your tummy and a blanket.
Wow.
And it is the most, I'm exaggerating, but life-changing thing. And she's like, you're not paying. I want to do this for you. This is my gift to you. I love you as a friend. And I'm, anyway, I will tag her in the show notes. Eminescence, it's called. You go and follow her Instagram, please, peas, because she's just all love and she's beautiful as well. And yeah, she said, I think this is what you need. And she was right. And it's been, I've had 2 so far. So, it's a huge make a difference. I don't even know what I did to deserve it, but I'm taking it.
That's part of pea life too, saying sometimes I just have to surrender and take what people want to help me with.
Yeah, it's really tricky.
Yeah.
I really want
to
pay.
Do.
Yeah, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
But anyway, when you see me next
time. You've been a loyal customer.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
That's how she makes her money.
Very generous.
Yeah, please comment on my skin when you see me.
Well, through Zoom, it's just radiating.
Thank you, thank you.
That light, I mean, that mask.
It's
like,
changed me.
Calm down, the glow.
Oh, dear. Anyway, what made you laugh this week, Mandy?
I can't laugh.
No, she can't.
No laugh.
You know what happens when you laugh? You cough.
Well, I coughed in the IGA. I just wet my pants.
I know.
I texted my friend. I said, I've just wet my pants in the IGA. She's like, oh, my God, I'm coming to get you. I was like, no, it's okay. I'll just get out of here.
Oh, mate, you've had a few babies. You know what we mean.
There's little laughs. I did finish watching Grace and Frankie. I've been waiting to finish that. Yep. I was very – and so I did laugh and cry at the end of it. It was finished so beautifully and I had a bit of space to watch it and take it in.
Good.
And then they had a Netflix special with women comedians. That's funny. Go and find it.
Okay.
But I just want to say, Grace and Frankie, I'm going to miss you. It's such an amazing TV show and I – but they ended up beautifully.
Oh, good. I like it when it ends beautifully.
I did laugh and I was sad. I was like, I'm not ready to say goodbye.
No one has as much attachment to TV characters as Mandy.
It's a TV show. My gosh.
She really does. Yeah, I love it. So my laugh, we were in the spa up at the snow. It was Lorraine, myself, my friend Deli, and my friend Kirsty. So last year when we were at the snow, we got locked down up there and somehow I adopted Kirsty. She's like 27, 28. She was at my birthday. She's just the most full of life, beautiful human. And I was like, do you really want to be here with us and not with all your friends? She's like, I love you ladies. This is the greatest time of my life. And you know when people are really enthusiastic and we just had the most fun with her in the spa. Anyway, a Hilltop Hoods song came on my Yui Boom and I was saying, you know, I know all the words and singing along and Kirsty said, oh, have you been to the concerts? And I said, oh, I sure have, you know, blah, blah. And Lorraine goes, pea friend Lorraine, this is one of the funniest things I've ever heard her say. She goes, I went too. We went in the moosh pit. And I was like, moosh? What's a moosh?
Oh, no.
And I was like,
oh, no.
And Kirsty's like, that's the most mum thing I've ever heard anyone say. Oh, no. I was like, it's a mosh, Lorraine. It's a mosh. Oh, but it will forever be the moosh to me. It sounds much posher. And I keep laughing about it when I just see her. You know when someone says something earnestly? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in the moosh. So it was a lovely moment.
Fantastic.
In the spa. Reminiscing on our moosh.
Oh, fun. Anyway, I can't laugh, but it's funny.
No, she can't laugh. So that's okay. And you're laughing on the inside, like you're at school or church and you're not allowed to.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Thank you to everybody as well who gave us feedback about the billboards and shared the and the beautiful photographer who made the little reel thing.
Yeah, made the reel. Yeah, amazing.
Good on them. They've got more savvy than us. So, yes.
They really do.
And the people that
–
I think my favourite messages were my friend saw your – billboard and said, that's the people you love. So, you know, like, it was lovely. They're gone now. So, fleeting billboard superstars.
Thank you, Acast.
Thank you, Acast. But yes, thank you, Peas. Rate and review.
Yep.
And we will see you next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.